It's Scotty Radio UK with George Matlock.
Welcome to Scotty Radio UK. I'm George Matlock, and another podcast for Scotty owners. We've got a very special guest on with us today. He's known to most Scotty Club UK members. There was some terribly sad news that he had to relate to the members just in July this year. Very bravely, he's agreed to come on air to talk about what happened. So may we please draw our attention to Matt Evans. Welcome to Scotty Club UK and to our radio service.
Thank you, George.
It's good to have you on the show, and I really appreciate this is still very, very early days, because it's only very recently that you've had some very sad news. Just to perhaps outline for the benefit of the listeners, you had two wonderful black Scottish Terriers that were active and members of the Scotty Club UK. And in something that I find very difficult to process, and I think most of our members would as well, is that you lost both of them almost on the same day.
Within 3 days.
Within 3 days. So can you tell us about your lovely Tartuffe and your lovely Willow?
Thank you, George. My husband Gavin and I had desperately wanted dogs, and I, like many of the club members, had grown up with Scotties and had only ever known Scotties in my life. Couldn't imagine having a dog other than a Scottie, their character, their loyalty, their stubbornness, their everything, their affection, brilliant with children, everything about them. But we lived in a flat and weren't allowed dogs. We exchanged on a house half a mile away from where we used to live in North London, and immediately went looking for a Scotty puppy. We'd always planned to have two dogs, but start with a Scotty puppy. We found a breeder in Surrey. We visited, and she had two left, a boy and a girl. And we just felt, well, we can't leave one. So we said we would buy them both. We waited till they were 8 weeks old, waited for Christmas and New Year to go. And then in beginning of January 2016, we brought them home, a little boy and a little girl, Willow and Tartuffe. Tartuffe, very different characters. Tartuffe, his ears never went up like Scotty should. So he always had floppy ears. And he loved human company. He was desperately affectionate. He was happiest with other dogs, and particularly other Scotties, but after other dogs, he was happiest sitting next to one of us with part of his body touching ours. Willow was Little Miss Independent. She was the one furthest from her mum when they were puppies as the litter. She was a classic Scottie with erect ears, very black. Both of them full of all the Scottie characters. She could be an absolute pest with other dogs. Mm-hmm. She could sometimes, when she was very young, she was quite aggressive towards them, never towards other Scotties. So happy when she met a Scottie. But she mellowed as she got older, and they were the loves of our lives. We don't have children. These were our lives revolved around Willow and Tartuffe. They went everywhere with us. Mm-hmm. They came to Scottie gatherings, all the walkabouts that you helped organize, and which they adored. They came to France, to Italy, to Switzerland with us, all around the UK. And they were just classic Scotties, characterful, loving, just the best.
And they were about 10 years old when you lost them both.
That's right. They were 10 years and 8 months old. You appreciate it's only a few weeks since we lost them, and a day hasn't gone by when I haven't been in tears at some point. But I'll tell you a bit about what happened. So during one of the heat waves, Tartuffe started getting up in the middle of the night to be sick. And we put that down to the heat. He'd always had a bit of tummy trouble. Willow had had pancreatitis since she was two on a special diet. So they'd both been prone to illnesses. Also, every morning, regular as clockwork, 365 days of the year, we would get up at 10 to 6 in the morning and take them to Hampstead Heath, and they would have an hour to an hour and a half running off the lead, charging around the heat, and sometimes they would scavenge stuff and have tummy trouble. So they'd always had a history of a bit of tummy trouble. So at first we put it down to that, but it didn't really. Sometimes he wasn't throwing up every night, but he would be sick at some point with a bit of bile. So eventually we took him to the vet, and the vet, who knew him really well, examined him and thought maybe he had some gastroenteritis or some gastritis, and put him on some omeprazole, which is a thing that stops the stomach acid, which was quite difficult to administer because Scotties are very good at sniffing out medication, but by and large, we were able to do that. We had noticed that he, for 2 months, he had been eating more slowly. So he always used to wolf down his food. And now his sister was eating much quicker than him. And he was particularly slow with a chew stick, which was very unlike him. And in fact, we'd asked the vet if there was something wrong with his mouth, particularly the chew stick, and she'd examined and said it was fine.
So his teeth, teeth were fine and everything?
So generally fine. I mean, they were both slowing down, but we put that down to age and the heat. And he was slowing down eating, which we thought was a bit odd, and there was probably something wrong, which is why we took him to the vet. So he was put on omeprazole, and for about 10 days, and we didn't really see an improvement. He wasn't being sick every day. Sometimes he'd go 2 or 3 days without being sick, and so we thought, oh, maybe it is this, and he's getting better. Willow, meanwhile, was absolutely fine, as far as we could tell. She was wolfing down her food. She had more energy on the walks. They would both interact with other dogs, but not play a great deal, but a little bit. And again, we put it down to the heat. All of this was happening in the background of the heat waves we've been having this year. But he carried on being sick, and we were worried about him. So on the Tuesday of the dog's final week, we took him back to the vet, and the vet had suggested that the next step was to do an ultrasound. So we took him in, dropped him off for a few hours, and the vet did an ultrasound of his tummy. And then when we went to collect him and we got the results, we were told that he was clearly uncomfortable around his stomach, but also he had a clear, quite diffuse, thickened stomach lining. And the vet explained to us that could be a couple of things. It could be severe gastritis, or it could be cancer. And given of the stomach, and given how diffuse it appeared on the ultrasound, probably the vet thought it could be a lymphoma. And he explained to us that actually might be quite a good outcome if it's not gastritis, because there were treatment options that can respond quite well to that and give him a quality of life that could go on for over a year or 2 years. So we brought him home, and immediately the vet suggested that he should have further tests and he should have an endoscopy. And that needed to be done to a referral hospital, and they recommended a hospital in Marlow in Buckinghamshire called the Ralph, which was about an hour's drive from us. And so he was booked in. We had to ring the hospital. They gave us an appointment about 2 weeks, in 2 weeks' time, and we rang the hospital and said, no, he needs to be seen really quickly. And so they gave us an appointment on Thursday, so about 36 hours after we'd brought him home. So on the Thursday, so we carried on taking him for a walk with Willow, and they carried on doing their normal routine. And although he didn't have a huge amount of appetite, and now he was starting to be picky about what he ate, he was still eating, and Willow seemed fine, a bit slow, but otherwise fine. So we took him to the hospital on the Thursday. We all went together, so Willow came with us as well, and met a lovely veterinary nurse. And she explained what would happen, and he was going to be kept in overnight. And we were really worried about him, but we dropped him off and felt he was in good hands, and we came home. And I then had to go to work that evening, and I had a client dinner. So I was in town in central London and got home about 11 o'clock on the Thursday evening. And the hospital had called to say that they had done the ultrasound, and he did have a severely thickened stomach lining, which didn't look good. And so we were really, really worried. But they said, look, before you make any decisions and before we jump to conclusions, we've taken a biopsy and we really need to wait for the biopsy results. They'd also seen nodules on his stomach, on his liver and spleen. And I'd said, well, are those cancer? And they said, well, they might be, but we've taken biopsies. And really, before you make any decisions about what this means for Tartuffe, we really need to wait for the biopsy results, because it still could be various things that could be treated.
Can I just ask you, was this a second ultrasound then? Did you have an ultrasound at your local vets as well?
So we had one at the local vet, and then at the Ralph Hospital, they said, look, we've got fancier equipment with greater clarity of results, and we'd like to use our equipment as well. So we were incredibly upset about that. And when I got home quite late, Gavin said to me, I'm a bit worried about Willow. Since late afternoon, she's been breathing quite rapidly, and her breathing sounds quite shallow. We need to keep an eye on her. And Willow liked to sleep in our bedroom under our bed. So we went to bed and we were thinking about Tartuffe and really, really worried about him and quite tearful. But all through the night, I could hear Willow breathing really rapidly, shallow breaths. And I started to be quite worried about that and thinking, what on earth's going on? The following morning, we got a lovely text message from a nurse at the Ralph to say Tartuffe was comfortable. He'd had a good sleep. He'd eaten his breakfast. He'd had a tube inserted directly into his gullet through his neck so they could administer medication and if needs be food. But they said he was taking everything without typical Scotty, just not reacting. Very brave and loads of fortitude and just took that in his stride. So we got this very reassuring and comforting message from the hospital. But Willow was still really clearly in some discomfort. And so Gavin took her to the vet at 9 o'clock in the morning. And 3 hours later, the vet called me and she kind of had a frog in her throat, and she's known Willow and us their whole lives. And she said, I know you're going through a lot with Tartuffe, but I've got some very upsetting news to share with you. And I just kind of went cold and started to feel sick. And she said, we did an ultrasound of Willow, and we saw there was a lot of fluid around her heart and lungs. And so we've taken a sample of it, and it's very mucky. And it looks really bad, and there's an awful lot of it. And I think it's probably caused by cancer. And I said to her, well, can it be drained? And she said, yes, we could drain it today. But there's so much of it, and looking at her, we think it would come back within 24 or 48 hours. And I'm really sorry, but there really is nothing we can do for Willow. And I said, well, is it worth us getting a second opinion? And she reassured me that the second opinion wouldn't give a different view, and that the kindest thing would be to put Willow to sleep. So we were completely stunned, because all our focus had been on Tartuffe. Willow had, apart from slowing down a bit, Willow had shown no symptoms until the afternoon before. And we had been crying the day before, thinking that we were going to lose Tartuffe, and in our minds imagining what it would be like to have one Scotty and how Willow would react. And then we're told Willow really should be put to sleep pretty much straight away. And so 45 minutes after getting that phone call, we drove around to the vets, and we held her and she was put to sleep in a very, very nice way. And the vets were amazing. And we were just deep in shock. And we went home and we're really struggling to process that. And we're worrying about our tooth. And then 5 hours after we got home, I got the phone call from the hospital with the worst possible news about Tartuffe. And the histology had come back from the biopsies. And he had really advanced, he had a massive stomach ulcer, which was probably what had caused the eating difficulties. But he had very advanced, I can't remember what the name of the cancer was, but a rare form.
Was it a carcinoma, or do you think?
It was an adenocarcinoma. It had a fancier name than that. But and so we talked about the options. I asked if it could be treated, and they said yes. We could operate and then give him chemotherapy, and that may extend his life by a few weeks or months. But Gavin and I had always said that we would never put our dogs through chemotherapy. It's a personal decision, but we didn't think it was a fair thing for our dogs. And so we talked through the other options and whether there's any hope of whether the progression will be slow, whether there's a way of keeping him pain-free. But we were also conscious that he, you know, had become very picky about his food, and he'd been sleeping so much, which we'd put down to the heat. But it wasn't just the heat, it was obviously his own discomfort. And I think the vets were thinking they would just put him down in the hospital, but I said, look, could we come and bring him home and have a weekend with him, and then speak with our local vet about end of life? And they said, yes, we can give you all the medication he needs. We'll show you how to administer it through his tube. And you can come and get him tomorrow. So we had a very difficult Friday. We had lost Willow, and we were told basically there was no hope for Tartuffe. We drove to somehow, I mean, we didn't get much sleep, but we drove to Buckinghamshire the following late morning, and our lovely boy came trotting out with a vet and his tail up, and he was pleased to see us, and he licked my face. And
So he was responding well. He was responding well.
Yeah, he was responding well, and he was interacting, and he was sniffing other dogs, and he didn't seem to mind us around his neck at all. And so we took him to the car, and he trotted out to the car with his tail up, and sat in the car with Gavin, and we drove home, and we had a weekend with him. The first day he mainly slept in his crate, which is where he always used to go to if he felt under the weather. Otherwise he didn't really use it. He always came out for meals, but he barely ate anything. But we found he would eat boiled chicken, so we could hand feed him boiled chicken. He stoically took his medication every few hours. He went into his crate, and we set up a bed for us outside his crate. But then at about, and I watched some of the World Cup third place playoff. And then around about 11:30, he actually got up and went upstairs, took himself upstairs, which is where he would always sleep. So we all went upstairs to the bedroom, and he slept in his bed.
So he still had the strength to negotiate.
The strength to get himself upstairs, and we actually had quite a nice night. We managed some sleep, and he slept well. And then we got up before 6 o'clock the following morning, and I took him for a walk, in the woods near us in North London, and he managed a bit of a walk, and he had some sniffs, and you know, he was slow, but he looked content. And then we had a day with him, the Sunday with him. He was mainly sleeping. That night we set up bed again outside his crate, and this time he slept through in the crate, and that was our last night with him. Which was very difficult. We took him for another walk the following morning, and this time his tail didn't rise up, and he was clearly unhappy. still sniffing, still doing some wheeze, even managed a little poo. But we kind of all felt it was his time. And he'd been booked in with the vet for 11 o'clock that morning. And so at 10:45, we took him there and we said goodbye to him. And
tell me,
our lovely dogs, but no more.
And so he was put down, was he, on the Monday? Is that right?
Yeah.
On the Monday.
So Willow was put down at midday on the Friday,
yep.
And Tartuffe at 11 a.m. on the Monday.
And when you realized that this was going to be the last night with Tartuffe, and you knew what was going to happen in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously losing the first dog as much as the second must have been terrible. I mean, everyone who's lost any dog will know that. But presumably, because you just so recently lost Willow, it compounded the pain and the sense of helplessness that you must have felt losing Tartuffe as well.
I think all of that we felt as soon as Tartuffe was put down. It was really weird. We were in complete shock about Willow, and it happened so quickly with Willow. Less than 24 hours after showing symptoms, she had gone. We didn't have because we were so worried about Tartuffe, we didn't really have time to grieve for her, and we didn't have time to really even think about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we went to collect Tartuffe, we desperately wanted to not be sad for him. We didn't want to transmit.
You wanted to put on a face. I know. Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that sounds silly or if that's just natural. And so we kind of just tried to hold it together for him. Mm. And by and large, we did. And then we kind of went to pieces afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, that there's nothing else to keep a brave face for, right? There's just a feeling of complete vacuum. So it must have been terrible. I mean, the fact that both dogs, let's be honest, both you started to worry about your dogs only a week earlier, first with Tartuffe, and then without even having time to assess things with Willow, because as you say, within 24 hours, things had deteriorated. So it's an unusual situation where two dogs, in this case, from the same litter, same age, therefore, have passed like this. It's almost as if they both were so connected. And I presume they were very close. They got on very good. And there's always a bit of camaraderie.
Well, they got on really well. They were quite independent from each other.
Yeah.
Tartuffe was an owner's doggy, and Willow was quite independent. She'd usually been in a different room, but yeah, they were close. And when Tartuffe was at the hospital, Willow did kind of walk around the house and check out the sort of places he would hang out.
I mean, when I lost one Scotty, and the other one would then look always under the table, would go into certain areas that he knew, the other one would sometimes lurk. It's as if they can't quite take it in. They're trying to process it, but they can't understand why the other dog is not there. Because, as you say, you went everywhere with these dogs. They were always present. So why is this dog not in the house? Is what Willow must have been thinking. And it's terribly, terribly sad that both have gone in such short succession. For you, obviously, as you grieve, as you both do now grieve. But equally, I guess they're both together, wherever that is.
It feels right. It just sounds absurd to say that. But there is some comfort. If there's an afterlife, and I don't know if there is, there's some comfort that they're kind of together. And when I was chatting to Tartuffe as we took him, I was saying, go and join your sister. There's some comfort that if there's an afterlife, they're probably together.
But you knew that they were obviously in some discomfort. There must have been, even though the brave dog was going up the stairs. We know how stoic Scotties are, which is what makes actually diagnosing anything around Scotties so much harder than other breeds of dog, because they really don't want to cause drama. They don't like fussing. people fussing over them. They like to be pampered, like who, what dog doesn't? But they don't want people fussing about them. They're very stoic, as you know. And
that's right. And just on that, and because it was all this was taking place at the backdrop of this unprecedented heat waves, these unprecedented heat waves we've been having.
Yeah.
And when I first took Tartuff to our vet, he said to me, look, Matt, one of the things, he said, this doesn't help you, but one of the issues we are all having as vets at the moment is that the dogs are presenting as though they are dying, and they're not. It's just the heat, and they're struggling with the heat.
Yeah. The heat is a bit of a shield, or a mask, maybe is the better word. It is a problem because, as you say, it's easy to simply put it down to the heat. I mean, all of us go through a bad time when it's exceptionally hot because we're not used to that in Europe. And now we've got weather that's akin to, you know, Thailand and other tropical places, and it's just we're just not ready for it. It is difficult because people first assume it's the heat. I mean, you obviously acted as soon as you knew there was a problem with Tartuff, and you went straight to the vets, and you didn't procrastinate, and that's a really important thing as well. You did all you could as good parents to your Scotties, and you acted in good faith to try and resolve this, hoping it was nothing major. Something that people have always said to me, and I've heard this from a number of Scotty owners, is that they often regret that the ultrasounds are not the first thing that is suggested by the vets. I mean, the vets, they get all kinds of customers. They get customers with insurance, with pet insurance, without pet insurance. And they always try to reduce the burden, which I think is honorable in a way, to reduce the burden on the client, and the client is the paying customer with the wallet. But at the same time, do you feel that perhaps the veterinary practices should actually be more on the front foot with this? Or do you think that everything that was done that could be done at the right time?
Yeah, so we would always have really candid conversations with our vet about the different treatment options and the pros and cons of each one. And I think one thing that the vet, so we knew ultrasound was sort of stage two of the treatment options, and it was offered to us at the outset. And I think I'd said, well, will it be definitive? And the vet said it usually isn't. It might be helpful, but it usually isn't definitive. And so we usually go with the first ones, the first treatment. And he said he didn't think it was unreasonable, having examined Tartuff, to try him for a week or so on antacids. You know, with the benefit of hindsight, it wouldn't have prolonged, or frankly, I don't think it would have shortened Tartuff's life if we'd gone straight with the ultrasound.
Exactly.
It would have still been inconclusive. We're very lucky. We had really excellent veterinary practice, really caring, knowledgeable vets who always didn't, they never sugarcoated stuff. They talked to us about the options. We had realistic conversations about anything that was wrong with the dogs. We talked about the different options. We had insurance. I wasn't too worried about the expense. It was more about what's right for the dog, and not wanting to put them through procedures that would be too much for them.
Exactly, invasive, and indeed, as you demonstrated with Tartuff, the vets told you, well, we could extend with the treatment. The Ralph told you we could extend his life by weeks or a few months, but in truth, the quality of the dog's life would not be enhanced. It might continue to be in some discomfort, which would require medication to keep the discomfort under control, and you would be going through looking at your watch, getting up every morning, checking that Tartuff is still okay. Nothing has happened overnight. There's no bleeding. There's no other signs of discomfort or trauma. And you would have ended up just having those extra precious weeks or months of sheer concern and worry, which, okay, selfishly speaking, would have given you more time on the calendar with your dog. but wouldn't, let's face it, I think, I speak as a dog owner myself, it wouldn't have given you any real reassurance. It would just be like almost a stay of execution. I don't really like that term, but I think you know what I'm trying to say.
I do. For us, we would have done anything for those dogs, and we wouldn't have cared how much stress it was putting us under. For us, everything was about what's right for the dogs. And I think something I'm really pleased with hindsight that we did, and if there's any takeaway from our experience for your listeners and for other Scottie owners, I'm just really pleased that Gavin and I had had the conversation some years ago in that sort of what if conversation. So what if or when the dogs are really ill, if it's cancer, what are we willing to put them through? If there is some sort of excision or surgery that can be done that isn't like major and doesn't require vast amounts of aftercare and painkillers for months, maybe that's okay. But we were very clear we were never going to put them through chemotherapy.
Yeah.
Even if that would extend their life, even if it could extend it by a year, we were never going to put them through that. We've got family members who've had cancer, and we've seen what chemo can do to
it. Takes a lot out of you. Yes.
And it's one thing for a human being to make a decision that they're willing to go through that. But we decided that our dog was never going to put them through that. And that meant that in this moment of incredibly fast moving, really deeply upsetting and overwhelming decision making we had to, and the facts that we were confronted with during that, either side of that weekend a few weeks ago, the decision to bring Tartuffe to end of life and Willow, but particularly Tartuffe, was actually, in some way, it was an easy decision. There wasn't even a conversation about it. It was, these are the options. Do you agree this is what we're going to do? Yes. And then the grief that comes with that. But it actually, I think because we'd always been clear on that, I'm really pleased that we'd had those conversations many years earlier, because there was no doubt in our minds. And with all the grief and all the looking back and all the did we do everything and did we miss signs and everything, there's no regret about the decision we took. We are absolutely certain that we took a decision that was in the best interest of both dogs, but of Tartuffe in particular. And whilst it's caused us unimaginable grief and pain, there's some comfort that we didn't put him through pain, and we just didn't want them to be in pain.
It's interesting.
It was unmanageable and
yes,
for which there was going to be no end.
It's interesting that you earlier enumerated that even if chemotherapy or other invasive treatments had extended Tartuffe's life by 12 months, you still wouldn't have wanted to put him through that. That's a very interesting point, because everyone is different. I certainly would agree that if my dog was suffering and I was told that this treatment would give him 3 to 6 months, I wouldn't do it, because I don't consider that a good... Well, first of all, I don't think it's fair on the dog, and I think it wouldn't really give much return on investment is the wrong term again, but it's that kind of thing. You know, it wouldn't give you much pleasure knowing that you're going to be worrying for the next 3 to 6 months about this. But in my personal case, if somebody's told me that we could extend his life through this treatment by 12 to 18 months or even more, I would do it. That's me.
And that's a personal decision. And I'm not judgmental about that.
Nor am I.
What we felt was right for us.
Yeah.
In that sense, the decision was even easier, because we were told it would extend his life probably by weeks and maybe by a few months. It was curtains for Tartuffe.
And it
was about managing his life.
It was a brutal prognosis for him, and there's no doubt that to anyone who I mean, you, but neither of you knew this was coming. That's part of the problem with cancers in dogs, is that they seem to be doing fine. They're all on a level. They're absolutely fine, status quo. And then suddenly they drop off the side of a cliff. And it's all very quick. It's not like that with humans most of the time. There are signs. We kind of know things aren't right. We talk about our symptoms because we can, because you and I can speak the same language. We can't speak with dogs because dogs don't speak our language. We have to sense that something is wrong, that their routines are not quite what they were. But then having discovered that there is something wrong, and having gone through the process of visiting your vets and specialists as you did, and knowing the helplessness around that you can't really do anything much to help, then you did the right thing. And I think our listeners, although they'll be very upset, and many I'm sure are in tears listening to this, as they would be, because it is very emotional, and it is doubly sad because you lost both dogs in such short a space of time. But I think everyone will agree that you've been great parents to your dogs, and you did the right thing in the interests of the dogs, not in your own sort of selfish interest. You did the right thing for the dogs. And I think people will see it in that way. Absolutely.
Can I just say, since I posted on the Scotty Club WhatsApp what happened, we've been really overwhelmed by the outpouring of support and love from the community that the Scotty Club created. There were lots of lovely messages on the convo, but also lots of members, including people I don't even know that I've met them all, reached out to me individually. We got phone calls. We had private messaging. We felt massively supported by the Scotty owning community. And every single one of those messages, we've been grateful for. And we have felt very supported and very loved. The dogs just adored every walkabout they went on. Our Scotties loved being in a pack of dogs, and they loved nothing more than being in a pack of Scotties. And so I just wanted to thank you for setting up the club and everybody in the club who provide been such a source for friendship and information and sharing tips and wonderful stories and adventures about their dogs. And I don't know. Gavin and I are going to take a break from having a dog. I think we'll probably get one in about a year's time. We've got a few trips lined up, and then we'll be ready for some puppies when we get back from a big trip next year.
We'll be very excited.
And I hope we'll get Scotties again, but it's too early to talk about that.
Well, any dog is a wonderful thing to have in one's home. But you've got other things you need to do, other priorities, and you also need the time to grieve, let's be honest. And two dogs, not one. I mean, we're talking about something that is really compounded, and it's unimaginable. I mean, it's a sort of thing you just can't imagine. And this is from natural cause. This is not from a tragedy. This is not from a fire that lost you two
That's
dogs
so
and cattle.
That's so weird about them going at this at pretty much the same time. If there was a terrible accident, if they had scavenged poison, something like that, you hear about that sort of thing. But this is quite, I know they're littermates, but it was different cancers, very different cancers, different ways of going.
There's nothing that connects the two tragedies together. That's what, other than they were both siblings, that's what makes us so incredibly distressing and upsetting, and I know everyone in the club was genuinely upset, and I'm very pleased also that they channeled that into engaging with you and expressing their sorrow to you. I think that is great, and it's good that you felt that, and you were able to tell us about your own bilateral conversations with many of the members as well. Fantastic. That's what communities are for. You know, that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other out. And it's not always in the la-la, happy times. There are also terribly sad moments which bring us together. And that's something that I'm very proud of. And that's not something that's peculiar to me. That's something that all our members have. And they have that sense of community. And it's great to hear that's what happened in this terribly sad time for you. I mean, in terms of finally, maybe just the sort of advice that you would give to other Scotty owners. I mean, it's very difficult because you say they're different. There were different conditions, albeit both cancers. They happened suddenly, very quickly. There wasn't time to to really assess things, to process even things. It was almost like doors slamming in front of you one after the other. And I know what that's like, because we lost Pikush in similar circumstances. It all happened very, very fast. That presumably, if I may just guide you on this, but by all means, I do want to hear your thoughts, you know, what owners, dog owners can do. One of the things you said earlier, which I think was really, really important, is that you and your partner spoke about what if this happened to our dogs? How would we react? What would we do? So you almost had, I don't want to call it a drill, but you had some kind of a framework, at least, as to how to cope, you know, to take the capacity of this on board, however distressing it would be, hoping it would never happen, of course, but it did.
Yeah. So I'm not sure we had the framework or the capacity to take it on board, but we did have a very firm common understanding of how we would decide in certain circumstances in an incredibly painful situation. And I think if someone hasn't had that conversation with themselves, with their co-owners of a dog, I think it's worth doing that, because with hindsight, that made the whole awful, awful experience one. There was just one less awful thing to deal with, because we both knew what the answer was and what the right thing to do for us and the dog was. So I think that's an important takeaway. I think another one is when we took the dogs in for veterinary treatment, we made sure our vets are very good at giving us the time, but we made sure we always asked them what the different options were, to talk about the outcomes, the prognosis of each one, the what if we don't do this, then what happens. And whilst I'm suspicious a bit of the use in these circumstances of AI tools, I did start putting into an AI tool the symptoms, and it spat out really good questions for me to ask the vet and the hospital. So I wasn't relying on it to diagnose the dogs, but it was very good at, if I asked it, what question should I ask the vet? It was really useful on that. And sometimes I wouldn't remember them, so it was actually there on my phone.
Of course.
And that was quite handy. I think the one other one was at the hospital. They were quite keen to do an awful lot of procedures that would have been extremely expensive. And I'm not sure necessarily were needed, were even always in Tartu's best interest. So I think the importance of questioning and challenging and asking the what if and what's, you know, what additional information does that provide is worth it. Because whereas our vets didn't appear to be suggesting lots of things that would just incur lots of profit for them, I had the slight impression that the hospital might have been doing that. So just challenging, questioning in a nice way. I mean, the care from them was exemplary, and it's an amazing referral hospital. But I think trying to order thoughts and using AI tools to help, if that's available, was actually quite useful.
Well, as you know, you will remain an honorary member of the club while you settle your thoughts and decide what you want to do next. We won't hold it against you if you choose to have a Westie.
Oh, I would never be a Westie.
Oh, don't say that. They're lovely. But whichever breed you decide, obviously we're rooting for you to go back to Scotties, because they are just they're just an irreplaceable breed. There's nothing like them. Yeah. There's nothing like them. But of course, it's your decision, yours and Gavin's, and we certainly hope that you will soon have the capacity in your hearts to have another dog, and I'm sure you will. Maybe it's a year away, but anyway, you remain an honorary member. So you can remain in the WhatsApp group if you want to ever reach out or want to discuss things, even through your bereavement process, feel free to do that. And you know, we've got members such as Kath Marchbank, who's a member of our group, who's from Stex, the welfare officer, and she's always very, very good at giving people reassuring and solid advice. So do reach out. Or if you want to bilaterally, of course. I just want to just summarize then from what you've just said there in terms of the sort of takeaways of what other Scotty owners might be thinking about. If I can remember, there were sort of three key things that we discussed there. So the first is it's good to talk to your next of kin, your partner, whoever in the family, whoever co-owns or looks after the dogs, to think about the unthinkable and to think about how you would handle that situation, what you would do depending on the diagnosis. So I think that's a key thing. You also mentioned to use AI, if and I think this is a good one, to not to be shy to use AI to think about and arm yourself with the right questions to ask. And thirdly, don't be shy to ask those questions. So when you do ask those questions, you try to really get out of the specialist, particularly, is this really necessary? How is this going to help? What would it be if we didn't do this? And not that you're there to keep the budget of the process down. You just want the best outcome for your dog. But it is important to ask questions. So I think those are the three sort of takeaways. So Matt Evans, thank you so much for being a guest today on Scotty Radio UK. We'll be broadcasting this in a few days' time on our podcasts. It'll be as part of the Scotty MOT series because it obviously more than touches upon the health of Scotties and the well-being also of their owners, which are two topics that we've definitely covered tonight. Anything you want to say just finally before we close the interview?
Just thank you again to everybody in the club who's reached out, and I am going to stay a member of the WhatsApp convo, and please continue to post all your gorgeous pictures and photos of your lovely dogs. Every single one makes me smile, and the grief is still incredibly raw. It's less than a month since we lost the dogs. The grief is different for different people. It will take us a long time to come to terms with this, and I think there'll be days when we're tearful in months in advance, months ahead. But I love Scotties, and I love all the stories about your beautiful dogs, and long may you continue to post about them.
Matt Evans, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, George.
Thanks for listening to Scotty Radio UK. All rights reserved.